you know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
bumper speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the Thrive Tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
We've learned our lesson. Have you beaten your depression yet? Think we've learned our lesson? Are you tired of being beaten?
Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show featuring the best unsigned, usually, rock that Pennsylvania has to offer on PARockShow.com, part of the podcast, your scene network, and MegaRockRadio.net. With me on the phone currently is Mark Cray of the band Order of Nine, and that's actually why I threw that usually in there. Order of Nine is a signed band from Pennsylvania, which is a little abnormal for the show, but I thought it was pretty cool that they contacted me, and I said, yeah, let's do the interview. So how are you doing, Mark?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate, reaching out and having me on your show.
Not a problem. Mark told me in the pre-interview portion that he's not usually the person who does the interviews, so we're going to cut him some slack.
Yeah, bear with me. I'm usually the guy sitting around in the background. I'm mainly the behind the scenes person, doing like the promotions online and stuff like that. That's kind of like the role I've adopted within the band. Kind of felt like that's what was needed, so.
But now are you personally from the Pittsburgh area originally?
Yeah, I'm originally from Shaler, like Etna, Melville.
Okay.
Area.
Okay. Where Mark Madden was from.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah. I'm almost positive he went to Shaler or his mother taught at Shaler. I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Shaler. Shaler High School. Yeah, I went to Shaler Junior High all through, grade school. Lived kind of like by Cherry City Fire Hall and off of Mount Royal. And now I've been over in, it's called like Crescent Hills. It's basically Penn Hills. It's like between Oakmont, kind of okay. Like right on the border of Penn Hills.
You're actually, you're not that far from me.
Oh, no kidding. Where are you at?
I'm in Leechburg.
Okay.
If you head towards New Kensington from Oakmont.
Yeah.
And you get on 356, 56. 56 will take you right to Leechburg.
Okay. Yeah. I'm usually not out that way. Probably. I think the closest I probably get out your way is up by, Steve Pollock, the guitarist of when I was telling you, does a lot of the producing and the recording for the CD. He's kind of out your neck of the woods as well.
Now, is that a studio that just you guys use, or does he record other local acts?
Just exclusively for Order of Nine. I mean, he does the elusive thing for, people that he's played with before that have projects that need his help. But, yeah, it's pretty, I'd say, like 90-95% of what he does is, for Order of Nine. And, I mean, it's a great setup that he has. Everything that you could ever want that's really at our disposal as far as software and different equipment. And I pitch my little two cents in when I can to help out on different things. But it's great. I mean, couldn't ask for anything more. We could use it when we want. We could, basically like a finished basement setup. We both have finished basements. But everything that he has, we go there and just utilize that.
Now, you mentioned that you guys are currently recording an album now. How many tracks are in the works?
I think there's probably going to be around, 11 tracks on this one. And, yeah, just I'm excited to... be working on it. It's kind of been my stake in the whole thing, coming into a band with all these CDs that have been released and all these, people that have been and out of the band that are really great players. It's been really cool to join in and kind of have that bar, you know, to step up to the plate and
now,
try to get.
You mentioned that you joined like 15 months before the last album was released. Were you on that album, or was someone else recorded as the guitarist?
No, that was with their other guitarist who had left, and I joined in as a replacement and basically, you know, learned probably close to, I think at the most, I think I learned, we had like 20 songs, you know, that we'd cycle through, you know, kind of like picking and choosing from, the oldest CDs. We play, you know, maybe two or three off the very old CDs, and the last CD I learned that in its entirety, and the newest one, learned that one as well. So it was a pretty big undertaking for me.
Is there a title picked out for the new one?
Not yet. That's actually, I was just talking to Steve about that. You know, we really, really would like to try to have that wrapped up, hopefully sometime, you know, this summer. I was talking to Steve about that so we can get, you know, move forward with getting, you know, everything printed out and, you know, all that. But
You were mentioning that it's difficult to find shows to play in the Pittsburgh area. And I mean, do you guys play out regionally, or is it more?
Yeah, Ann has always played out. It's not a matter of being difficult. I mean, there's a lot of places to play. It's just difficult to
make money at it.
Yeah, not shell out a lot of money.
Right.
The last really big show that we did, which went over really well, had a good turnout, and everyone was really receptive to the band. The sound was good, and, you know, it was with Dark Tranquility, and that cost us a fortune to play that. I don't want to give out the number.
No.
There's a lot of money in it, you know, which it just seems to be, you know, the nature of how it is around here. I mean, especially if, you know, it's hard too to contend with the sports around here, you know. Mm-hmm. I never try to anything.
Don't book a show when the Steelers are playing.
Yeah, or, you know, for any sports, for, you know, anything, it's hockey or football, you know, it's just tough.
You mentioned that you were in a couple bands before this one. Did you do any recording in any of those bands?
Yes. Yeah. In Order of Nine, we had an unofficial release last, actually it was a year ago. We did like an unofficial, they have like a tradition of doing like a Christmas song. So, you know, Steve decided to say, you know what, let's do something, kind of like get warmed up for the CD, get me acclimated to the way they do things in the studio, which was kind of night and day from what I've been accustomed to. So we did a real quick, like, really shot for like a TSO Nightwish type of song. And it was to make it kind of like a Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really intended to be a song. It was, Steve and I originally thinking about just jamming on it, you know, making it kind of like instrumental. And then, Mike got a hold of it and put vocals on it. And we were like, wow, that sounds like a full song. And we were really happy with what he did. So we just did that for kind of fun. It's called Frost. It's a Christmas song, but before that, yeah, I've done probably, let's see, one, two, I've done three other CDs. I was with, I don't know if you ever heard of Scorn of Earth. And then I was in 50 Caliber Dream. He did a CD.
Scorn of Earth sounds familiar. I can't place it, but...
2004, 2005.
Yeah, that was when I was just starting to do this, so...
Yeah, it was around, I don't know, that we. I was in the band, the band was kind of split up. It was originally Our Dying Moment, and then the drummer and the vocalist from that band and I hooked up, and we were kind of doing that thing for a minute, and then we kind of branched off on our own thing and ended up being Scorn of Earth, which was like really, you know, heavy, just brutal. You know, that type of metal.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you happen to know the story of like how the band got signed? Like what happened? You know, sometimes there's really cool stories, and then other times it's like, oh, we just got in contact with them.
Yeah. I remember asking that a long time ago. I just kind of like vaguely remember Mike saying like, you know, it was just kind of like a luck. It was just, you know, he would just happen to, you know, do the right thing at the right time. And, but yeah, he's, the band has been with, Nightmare Records, you know, since its conception, and, I've done some tribute, things on the side.
In the biography, I see Dwell Records and Cleopatra Records and Nightmare, yeah, they obviously. Were, and
yeah, they were on those. And but yeah, that's what we're looking to get wrapped up for this year, and kind of get it off our plate so it could you know.
Do you have a tentative release date?
Well, I mean, we want to get our end of it done this year completely. And then, there's always schedules with, which I learned, with like people that master. And then once it gets into the label's hands, then it, you know, then they have schedules and things like that. So, that's very open-ended, but I would hope, you know, I'd hope for it to be submitted mixed this year, mastered this year. And then kind of like, okay, well, we can start trying to shoot some videos for it and get our end of it before the next, you know, part of it rolls out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that way we're kind of like one step ahead of it, but I don't know. We could get it done and by summer, and, you know, it might be late this year that it could be released. You know, that's a possibility. But our end of it, I'm really pushing and gunning for getting it done this year, doing everything I can to help make sure that happens.
Also, looking in the bio, it mentions some bands that that Order of Nine has shared the stage with, like Metal Church and Symphony X and Cage and Overkill, Fate's Warning, and a few others. And those are some heavier bands. If you were to describe the sound of Order of Nine, how would you describe it?
Well, when I first heard the music, I didn't hear the Seventh Year of the Broken Mirror. I basically responded to a Craigslist ad from Steve,
mm-hmm.
and checked it out. And I'm like, you know, wow, these guys, the CD sounds really good, and great guitar playing. And I thought Mike really sounded good on the vocals. So I kind of sat back and listened to it more and more. And I'm like, you know what? This definitely has like an 80s vibe, you know,
mm-hmm.
not really what anything that I really had done with that type of style. I was more into like, I was doing like hardcore metal, kind of like a mix of that. I got kind of wrapped up in that whole scene for a real long time, but I had always loved, you know, 80s type metal bands, you know, grew up with that stuff as a little kid. And I've always, always loved, the guitar players that were like kind of associated with that, with, you know, like Yngwie, Paul Gilbert and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I always had that like kind of in my back pocket, but, I really, really wasn't convinced until I heard the Seventh Year of the Broken Mirror CD. And I went over there and I'm like, you know, after, I think after like two songs, I was like, okay, I think they're starting to get it. You know, like I felt like it was moving forward, and but it still had their integrity intact as far as, you know, where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
Nice progression. It was, there were some parts on there that were heavier. Steve started, you know, trying to use some, tried, you know, on a couple songs, I used some 7-string guitars. It's always, you know, it'll, whenever a lot of people are doing that, it kind of, you know, you get kind of lumped into that. Okay, they're, like God Nevermore, things like that. You kind of associate those two. But I listened to it and I'm like, you know what? I was like, okay, I get it. You know, but before when I heard it, it was really good. It was just, okay, that's a little, it's a little old school. But on a new one, me personally, I didn't try to do anything as far as like reinventing the wheel, but there are definitely some like heavier moments. And there's a couple curveballs, especially the one song we were working on is definitely out of the box from what the band has done. And I just kind of, for me, it was more or less like I was influenced by a lot of the things that the band had did. I played, you know, all the stuff the band had did for years. And then they had turned me on to like different bands that I didn't really listen to until I was in Order of Nine.
Mm-hmm.
Like Michael got me into like, Camelot. I heard Symphony X, you know, a while ago, but never really listened to them until I got in Order of Nine. Steve turned me on to them. And, Nightwish was another really big one that, they told me about. And, I got into a lot of the stuff that they did, which kind of like was the influence for Frost, you know, like Nightwish and
mm-hmm.
whole, like symphonic trans symphony orchestra vibe. And another one that, was kind of like an influence for the CD was, Evergrey, especially like the past two CDs they put out. They put out one a couple years ago and then they put out one this year. We love that. We love that stuff. And that's kind of like the vibe, similar type of vibe, but it's still got like the old, you know, Order of Nine stuff. And then it's, there's definitely two tracks.
So your fans will be able to, like, when they hear it, they'll be able to go, oh, that's Order of Nine, but that's different.
Yeah. For some of it, there's a song on there Steve has that it's definitely, it's got that like Queensryche type vibe, but you know, more modern. And then there's, you know, there's a couple on there that they're Order of Nine. And I mean, once you hear Mike, but it's definitely got a heavier, meaner approach, you know, wasn't really intended, but, I didn't go too far off the limb with it, but there's definitely a couple things that are, curveballs from what the band has done in the past. And there's also, you know, like, for like lack of better terminology, like some power ballad type things on there. As well as like really heavy. I think it's a pretty good mix. And we're just trying to, you know, make sure each song kind of stands on its own. We plan to, we've been talking about it for a while, but we plan to release as many songs on this as possible. The last CD, it was three songs were, you know, put out. We're trying to do four or five, maybe even more. So we're trying to get them all out.
I'm looking through your site as you're talking, and see, you've played with some bands that I know, like Sixth Sense and Homicide Black.
I remember playing with them. I think I remember the Homicide Black one that sticks out for me.
Yeah, they're a three-piece. Sean Nestor plays guitar and sings. The bass player's name is Jazz Byers, or the drummer, I mean, and I can't ever remember the bass player's name.
Yeah, I think we played with them at Ripper's Tap House.
Okay.
In Ohio.
Yep. I actually my other podcast Your Scene, one of the hosts is John Lane from the band the Hellfire Club, and he actually used to work at Ripper's. He would do promotions. Yeah, yeah. He would do promotions for them.
Yeah, nice. I have a friend, Skip, who told me about that band a long time ago, so I'm familiar with them. He's been a fan of them for I think they've been around for a while, right? Like 20 years.
Hellfire Club. What's that?
Is it Electric Hellfire Club or Hellfire Club?
Hellfire Club.
Just Hellfire
Club. Yeah, they're out of Akron. They're I want to say like 2 years, but John's been in the scene forever. He was actually originally from Butler Katanning area. He played in Alistair Wilde, if you've ever heard of them. Alistair Wilde had Kelly Rhodes, which was Randy Rhodes' brother. Who else was in there? Chuck Dobbins, who's currently in the Hellfire Club. I can't remember who else was. If you look them up, they made Blabbermouth. So, Blabbermouth.net. But yeah, he talks about Ripper a lot.
It's a really, really, really cool place.
Yeah, it actually if it was the Tap House closed, and then they opened another one, and I can't remember the name of it, and then it was on Bar Rescue, and they changed the name to Tim Ripper Owens Tavern, I believe, and it just recently closed. If you're just tuning in, I am talking with Mark Cray from the band Order of Nine. We'll be right back. Back with Mark Cray from Order of Nine.
I was just saying Rippers, it's a great place, man. It's like just the right size, you know.
Yeah, they actually it recently closed.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Did you play at the Tap House or did you play at the newer one?
Tap House. Like a bar. It's like a you know, you go in, it's got like all the stuff hanging, all the memorabilia hanging on the walls, and
yeah, the tap house closed, and they relocated, and I can't remember what they called that one, and then it was on Bar Rescue, and they renamed it to I think it was Tim the Ripper Owens Tavern, maybe, or something like that, traveling tavern, but it closed as well.
Jeez. Kind of like following suit with everything else around here in Pittsburgh. I remember the World. I remember Metropole, the Beehive. what else was there? Graffiti.
Graffiti, yeah.
Electric Banana. That Electric Banana was before I was like a little kid. But I mean, there's so many
places. Metropole and Graffiti and those places. Those were right before I started getting into what I was doing or what I am doing. Have you ever heard of the band Creep?
No.
Okay. Well, they were in the very last Graffiti Rock Challenge, and they finished second, which is what made me think of them. they're from this area here in the Valley.
They're still around. What kind of what style?
They play a couple times a year. Kind of grunge, hard rock kind of sound. Maybe I tell you what, I'll play them on this podcast so you can hear what they sound like.
I don't know why. I mean I always like checking out music, but I especially like hearing whatever is local, you know. I'm always interested to hear what people are doing.
I could throw a couple. I'll throw some band names out. How about After the Fall?
I've heard them. I know that name rings a bell. They're probably on one of my profiles.
Let's see. Slant Six.
Nah.
A common crown. I'm going to give you a list of bands later to check out.
Yeah.
Tarachan Sky is one you should definitely check out. Their band name comes from the end of Pantera. And then Chain is from Alice in Chains, and Sky is from Lynyrd Skynyrd. And
cool.
That doesn't seem like a mix that you would put together, but when you hear the originals, you hear all three of those bands' influences, and it's really cool.
Yeah, that's different.
But I tried to mention before the call dropped that your website is orderof9.com, and it's the words order of and then the number 9.com.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere else people can find you? Like where can they get copies of the older CDs and things like that?
Through the music's pretty much everywhere they sell music out online, you know, and then that's on I didn't know this until it was like two or three years after being in a band. I ended up getting a new smartphone, and I was like having fun, like downloading all this music. It was called Move Music. It was like, okay. I had Cricket at the time, and I was like downloading all this stuff, and it was really fast, and I was loving it. And then one day I just was like searching Order of Nine. I'm like shit. I was like, look, I was like, the CDs are on there, and they're like, yeah, it's on there. I'm like, well, nobody knows this. I was like, I didn't know this. You know what I mean? I was like, I didn't know this. I was like, this is really cool. I'm like, it makes it even easier for people to hear you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So like, yeah, it's like, you know, Pandora, iHeart, like all those different things, which is cool, you know, for convenience and things like that. But yeah, the stuff is, it's pretty much, you know, everywhere music is sold, or taken, you know, you go on YouTube, Spotify, you know, Nightmare Records has like the entire back catalog. Every once in a while, I usually see him post like, you know, maybe for like a weekend or a day, he'll be like 20% off anything, you know, but yeah, it's everywhere. You can pretty much get it.
Yeah. I was actually talking to Doug Carnahan, who's the lead singer of After the Fall, earlier tonight. And, he was telling me how, the streaming websites really don't help bands all that much because the royalty payment is like,
yeah, I mean, we debate about this in Order of Nine constantly. It's kind of like a catch-22. Like, people, I mean, there's so many more avenues, like, for people to find you now, and get exposed to you. But yeah, most of it is like a free thing, you know, like what you were saying, or like YouTube, or, you know, but I mean, it's just, you know, I don't think anything has really changed since like when I grew up as a kid and like, you know, tapes were around. I mean, people were tape trading and recording off the radio and all that. It's just more frequent now because
it's easier.
Yeah. It's just, nothing has changed. It's just more of the same. I mean, there's just endless exposure. You can look at it that way. It just kind of depends upon how you want to look at it. I mean, some people view it in that light. I view it as kind of, you know, well, I mean, this is more opportunity. I have control of getting it into people's ears, you know?
Right.
I mean, you could take two extreme examples, right? You could, you know, not have anything released, have a .com site and a Facebook page or whatever, Twitter, and sell it directly from there. No middleman, get the money directly from everyone, you know, but then you're responsible and it's up to you to find these people.
Right. Then get it. Then you're doing the advertising, you're pushing the music. You need a business degree. You need an advertising degree. You need.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not marketed anywhere other than where you can reach.
Right.
And how really, most people don't have that much of a reach on online. And that's kind of like what I focus on online, is getting the reach, you know, through different profiles and like Facebook. It, like, when I first came into the band, like, I had Facebook and everything, but it was like, you know, relatively new to me, and I had never used it within a band. Like, the last band I was in, we were on MySpace, and that was kind of like the thing. And we had a Facebook page, but our MySpace, it was like kind of like that cusp of like the switch over.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone kind of jumped ship from MySpace. And,
I did that
like back in like 2008, you know? So when I got into the band, I was like MFing Facebook, 'cause you know, I was used to MySpace, and I knew MySpace inside and out, and I was really good at it. But I really found out quickly, well, not as quickly as I wanted to, but I found out how to kind of do it. But the thing that you have to kind of say, do I want to get into this, is like, you know, getting yourself into all these different groups, you know, all these different pages where you can have an opportunity to post your music.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't like that, you know. They don't like having all these different like people. I mean, you know, some people treat their pages like, these are my friends that I know, you know, like I know the, like on my pages, like I know like three people, you know, like I've met them like in life. There's three people, like, but you know, I'm not in it to like just sit here and talk to people in Pittsburgh that I know. Like, I'm in there to meet people, network, you know? So
that's,
you know, it just depends upon how you look at it.
I'm in a similar situation. I have, I probably don't have nearly as many friends as you, but I have almost 2,000, and a lot of them are local band members that I may have met once or may have talked to on Skype during an interview and never met, or they may know someone that I interviewed.
And you know, Facebook's their like proclaimed intention wasn't for people to, they're like, oh, I only had the people you know and blah, 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 blah. I mean, people are kind of like whatever now because a lot of people do their businesses from Facebook, you know, like my wife, she had like a page where she was like making like home ec type of things. And she was doing really good business just from that page, not knowing anybody, you know? So it just depends on what you want to use it for. But if you want to adapt and you want to kind of, you know, get crazy with it, you can. Because that's what I've been doing. That's kind of how I met you. And, you know, this is all just kind of me networking for the band and helping the band get up so when we do release something, we have a bigger...
You have a follow-up. You
know, a year or whatever from now, I'll probably hit you up like, hey, man, our CD's done. You know, like, I'm just kind of like on there doing free promotion and trying to build everything up and using the downtime to our advantage.
Is there any advice you would have for a local unsigned band on anything? Is there any words of wisdom?
Just know what you want to do and just don't accept anything less than what you're going for and don't cut any corners, you know. Get the best everything to me. I mean, after you're kind of like underground, so to speak, you get your band together and you're rehearsing. I always sing, everyone always wants to just do like a couple of songs. I think it's best to, you know, take your time with it, get everything together, and put together a full length CD and record it, you know, to the best of your ability. Because you know, in this day and age, that what, like, I'd argue probably 95-97% of the people that are going to hear you are going to get their first impression from, you know, something that's online.
Yeah, that's probably a good guess.
Yeah, so I mean, I know people and bands love playing shows, and you know, it's fun and it's an adrenaline rush, and you know, it's cool and everything. But you know, I can only speak from my experience, and my experience was like I played every show. You know, like I played like a couple hundred shows in like a 2-year period. The last band I was in, and we could have probably played another couple hundred in the next couple years. But I mean, honestly, like all the things, all the stepping stones that I've come across and have been helpful have been things from, you know, networking online, you know, like CD compilations and things like that, or soundtracks, and, you know, everyone that's, pretty much everyone that's doing what they're doing is also online. So
right.
Just take advantage of it.
Is Order of Nine on a soundtrack?
Yeah. Mark Howard, the bassist, his buddies that I think he went to high school with did a, independent movie, and, it was all Pittsburgh based. It was like actors were from here. His friends that were putting it together from here, they filmed it in here. It was called The Other Side. And
that sounds familiar.
He pretty much got Order of Nine on the soundtrack because, you know, he was buddies with him, and we kind of fit the bill. There's let me look at it. I think I have the soundtrack right here. I can tell you who's on it. Where did I put it? Here it is. Let's see if you know any of these guys. Fist Fight in a Parking Lot.
Ah, I know them.
Chris Booth and Jason Sitchy. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Sorry. Dark Heart. Against Sunrise, Super Void. Oh, Homicide Black's on here.
Homicide Black, Super Void.
Other side. Yeah. Brittany Bordella. Expiation. Dirty. It's basically Homicide Black, Super Void, Florals, Chris Booth, and Jason Sitch. Dirty Charms, Fist Flight in the Parking Lot.
Dirty Charms, they're from New Jersey, aren't they?
Nah, I don't know. They might be. Venus and Furs.
I know them. That's Michael.
Order of Nine and Insult to Injury and Christopher Anthony. But yeah, this came out in the fall of 2014. You know, it was just a independent budget. But I was pretty impressed, just to
fix what I said earlier, Dirty Charms are from Pittsburgh. They're a Super Monkey band. Super Monkey Recording okay. Company.
I could have sworn there was some other Pittsburgh bands. I forgot Homicide Black was on there. But yeah, it's actually good plot twist to the movie. It's pretty cool.
I haven't seen it. I may have to look the movie up.
Yeah, I mean it's for the budget they had. I thought they did, you know, pretty good with it, and you know, the substance, the storyline was cool. You know,
mm-hmm.
it caught everyone that I knew that checked it out. They're like, oh man, that was a cool ending. You know, like I didn't know that was going to happen.
All right, so I have probably two more questions for you before we go. Who would you say your biggest influences are?
As far just like music in general?
Yes.
Oh man. Well, I'd say as a kid, like a little kid, it was Guns N' Roses that got me into wanting to play music. That was like my inspiration for wanting to get a guitar. But from there, probably a lot of like cliche things, like, you know, I got really big into Pantera. And from there, like years later, I don't know why, but I just got into like progressively heavier music. I mean, I dipped in and out of like things here and there, but kind of like the As I Lay Dying, Killswitch Engage era kind of got me re-involved in like metal.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I like all styles, but I don't like most bands, you know? I like every style of music, but there's only a few, maybe like a handful of bands in each of those styles that I really, really like. I'm one of those people that just beats the death out of a CD, you know? Like you said, you were talking about Alice in Chains earlier. I had like their first couple CDs like as a kid, and like, I beat those things to death.
Yeah, I've had have you heard of Skell?
Yeah.
They actually had to give me a new copy of their CD because I played it so much.
Yeah. I'm one of those people, man. Like, I'll find something. Like, whenever he turned me on to Camelot, and he got me in particular in this one song, man. I just listened to this song for like a month every time I got in my car. It's like habitual. I just got in there and turned it on. I love the song so much.
All right, so last question. If you had to pick one person that has supported you the most of your musical career, who would you say it was?
I'd have to be my wife. Because, I mean, she's helped me out, kind of enabled me to do what I'm doing, and you know, listen to me and help me out. And, you know, whenever things weren't going good in between, you know, trying to find things to do and meeting different people endlessly, you know, online, that's like a whole other nightmare going through that. You like ever talk to someone around here that's like gone through the whole thing of like trying out for bands or, you know, responding to ads? It's just, it can be very like frustrating and kind of tiresome process, but you know, you got to go through it. You got to end up meeting people somehow, you know, if you're not at shows constantly or going to shows, hanging out.
Now, when you went to audition for Order of Nine, you didn't like show up with Ace Frehley, like Ace Frehley did with like two different colored shoes. And
no, it's pretty low key, but it's a memorable story because I pretty much bombed the first. I was actually lucky to get asked back. I just, everything was going great. And then, we weren't even, it was supposed to be kind of like just a real quick thing. And then we ended up talking and hanging out and then listening to stuff. And then they're like, okay, time to play. And it was like one of those things. I was like, you know, these guys are doing everything that I want to do. It's kind of like too good to be true. And then I got my guitar in my hands and it was like, it just nerves out of the blue to the point where like, it was screwing up my playing to the point where it was noticeable, like very bad. And I'm just like, and it just snowball, you know, it's like snowball. And I'm like, you know, and, luckily Steve, I think he realized I was just nervous and then gave me another crack at it. Like a week later, I was like, really, I ended up getting ticked off of myself, came home, just like hold myself up in my bedroom and just practiced for like a week. And then, you know, came back and they're like, okay, yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, I was just nervous.
Well, one more time, if you're listening, I've been speaking with Mark Cray from the band Order of Nine. You can find them at orderofnine.com and it's the number 9 in that address. Do you have any shout outs you want to give or any last moments you want to leave the listeners with before we go and listen to some more of the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer?
Yeah, just want to thank like you and everyone else, you know, I've been networking with. Thanks for, you know, meeting up and talking. It's really appreciated. It all helps.
It's not a problem. This is probably the coolest hobby that anyone that I know has. They just don't realize it yet. My wife is sitting beside me. She just rolled her eyes at me.
And yeah, we're, you know, definitely, you know, definitely coming back at it in full force. And it's going to be really good.
Cool.
Production.
When that CD is released, make sure you contact me and maybe we'll bring a couple more of the band members on to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, cool, man. I appreciate it.
So thanks again for coming on, and I'm going to play some Creep. Maybe I'll play Walking Backwards for you, which is actually mentioned in the intro of the show. Once again, my name is Bill, and this has been the Pennsylvania Rock Show.